knew that night would come. One day he was going to have to return back to the Father. He said, so I must do the work. So he is our example. He came to do the Father's will. He put the Father's will first. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. So he sought the Father's will. He lived what he's now telling us to do.
Amen.
He preached. He came to bring God's kingdom to the world.
Amen.
He died according to the Father's will. He was buried in the grave because this was the Father's will. He stayed in that grave 3 days and 3 nights because that was the Father's will. He was seeking what God wanted him to do. But on the first day of the week, early Sunday morning, the Bible said he got up with all power in his hand. Because that was the Father's will. So I'm saying to you, Mount Olive, don't worry, but trust God and put him first in your life. And when you put him first, it governs everything else in our lives. Now, everybody here may not know God. Everybody saved. Yeah. Called to discipleship. You have the opportunity, if we have not been putting God first, we have the opportunity to repent right now and put God in his proper place and allow him to govern our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observe every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. And it reads as follows. But Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, making difficult decisions in desperate times. Making difficult decisions in desperate times. If you've never been there, my brothers and sisters, keep on living. And you will find yourself faced with having to make difficult decisions that you've never had to make before. Some that present themselves in such a horrific way that there is no time to contemplate, no time to pray, no time to wonder, or as the old folks say, no time to study. But all that in you is rises to the occasion where you make a decision based on the wisdom that you have within you and the ability to discern what's right or what's wrong or what's best. When we hear this story, it is a familiar story. We are all familiar with it from Sunday school days of Jesus walking on the water. And yet I choose not to focus on the more traditional viewpoint of this story to bring out perhaps some relevant meaning for us today. What is the point and purpose of us hearing this story and applying it to our lives? Certainly, it's really not about walking on water. All right. Because it's been recorded that only Jesus and Peter actually walked on water. I've not read an updated record yet where that is the common phenomenon. It's not really about just dealing with storms, because everybody, saved and unsaved, have storm encounters. But what sets this apart as we look at this story and unfold it to give us some helpful holy hints of how we can gain and gather from the text some nuggets, some pearls from which to operate in our own lives and in our own issues and in our own difficult days. We've got some lessons we can learn in the text. And it's important for us to see them for what they are and utilize them in our own situations. One of the things that you will note, if you back up to the 27th verse, you will discover that Jesus has just said to all of the disciples, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." He says this when he walks up to them on the sea in the midst of a storm with all of them in the ship, in the sea, in the storm, and says to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Now, one of the things you're going to note that even before then, going back to verse 22, he directs the disciples to go to the other side and he'll meet them there. But he puts them in a ship and sends them off, and then he sends the crowd off. And then in the next verse, he goes up to a mountain alone to pray. And then the story unfolds where the sea is contrary, the winds are contrary, the storm has already started brewing. The disciples are in a tossed ship, can't make it to the other side, but Jesus told them, "Go to the other side." And yet it is now between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. and they have not made it to the other side yet. And in the midst of the storm, Jesus comes walking on the water. They see him, but not as Jesus, but as a spirit. And so they are afraid. They're frightened now. And so the reality is they don't know what to do. They can't run, they can't hide. The storm is tossing water and causing their view to be distorted, so they can't really make out what it is, less known who it is. But yet Jesus speaks to them and he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." These are words that these men have heard from Jesus before. They were no unfamiliar words. They were words they had heard on various occasions of Jesus speaking to them and to others. And yet they were present when they heard these words. They knew these words. They were familiar words. Now, yet in the midst of their storm, Jesus is speaking it to them. All of them are in a desperate situation. They're disturbed, they're distressed, and it all seems like all of them are doomed. But there's one man who somehow senses a difference in the atmosphere. He hears these words ringing, and somehow it somehow touches the very essence of his inward knowledge of Jesus. These are no unfamiliar words. Something about these words are stirring him up. And so one of the things you'll note that Peter did in differing from the other disciples was he discerned that this might be Jesus. So the first thing I want to show you in the text to help us in our situations of making difficult decisions in desperate times is we need to do like Peter. The first thing he did was he pursued the Lord. Pursued the Lord. Look at what he said. He said, Lord, if it be thou. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto you on the water. Now look at Peter. Now look at the genius of his difference coming out, how he poses this reality to Jesus, because here's what he knows. He's already seen Jesus walking on the water. It's the first time any of them have seen him do that, but yet he knows it ain't no big deal for Jesus to come to him. But he says, Lord, if it be thou, if you're really the Lord I know, then bid me come unto you on the water. Now listen at this, because this is a desperate situation, but yet Peter puts this and poses this question to him, if it's him, in two parts. The first part is, if it's really him, let him come to him. Let him come to him. That means he has to get out of the ship in the midst of the storm that's already going on. Because verse 24 says the wind was already contrary. The ship was already being tossed. It wasn't like the storm just started when Peter got out the ship. It was already going on. And see, sometimes you don't realize how much of a storm is going on until you get out of your place of safety, out of your place of comfort, and get into unsheltered areas. Then you realize how bad the storm really is. So the first part of the genius of his questioning was, let him come to him. Listen. Let him do it on the water. So now Jesus was the first man walking on water, and Peter would have been the second man. And that's exactly what happened. Peter became the second man to walk on water behind Jesus, because he pursued the Lord. Now listen at this now. When you pursue the Lord, let me tell you, he'll take you to places you've never been. Somebody ain't hearing me here. When you pursue the Lord will show you things you've never seen. When you pursue the Lord will give you encounters you could have never dreamt of. And he pursued the Lord, and the Lord, listen at this, gave him an encounter he would never forget. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He pursued the Lord. But it's not just enough to pursue the Lord. You've got to be persuaded by the Lord. Look at how the Lord persuaded him. And he said, come. Listen, when you know the Lord, it don't take much persuasion. That's all he needed from Jesus was just one word. Come. Come. That's all he needed to hear him say was come. Because he had heard that word before. Come unto me. All ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If any man will come after me. Y'all not hearing me here today. He had heard the word come from Jesus before, and that word come resonated all underneath his skin, and it moved him, persuaded him to get out of that ship and go to Jesus. So he was persuaded of the Lord. He needed that persuasion, my brothers and sisters, to sustain his faith. Faith cometh by hearing. He heard, come. That was all he needed. Listen, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, he had the word of God. The word of God said, come. He had already requested, if it is the Lord, let me come unto you on the water. Jesus said, I don't have a problem with your request. He said, just tell me come. He said, come. So now he's persuaded it's Jesus. Look at what the Bible says. And when he had come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's shouting news. Notice the word don't say, and they walked on the water. It says, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, sometimes when you pursue the Lord and you're persuaded of the Lord, sometimes you got to go all by yourself. Others were watching, others were present, but none others participated. It was just Peter. Peter got out of that ship by faith, took one step by faith, took another step by faith. Listen, and another step by faith. I got to tell you, Jesus was the right distance to activate his faith. He was close enough to Peter to activate his faith, to make him say, I believe I could make it. But he was far enough from Peter where Peter had to do what he said, and that was use his faith to go to Jesus. And yet, look at what the word says, verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. When he saw, he became afraid. Maybe that's why Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. When we walk by sight, we see too much. We're too distracted by the peripheral view and all of the issues that surround us in the sideshow. He lost the main focus and the attention off of the word of God that had given him the ability to come to the Lord just as he was. And listen at this, my brothers and sisters. And when he saw, and when you look up boisterous, it has more to do with what you hear. It's loud, noisy, it's violent, it's all of those things. But the word said when he saw, because you don't really see when. That's why the spirit was likened to the wind. You don't know where it comes, you don't know where it's going. But he saw the wind. Well, what it really meant was he saw the effects of the wind and how the wind had picked up the water, how the wind had distorted the view, how the wind had brought matter into conflicting views and so forth, so much so that he was now in the midst of this conflict. And as a result of that, he took his focus off of coming to Jesus. And when he did, he became afraid. What was he afraid of? He was afraid now that those hindrances would stop him from making it to Jesus. You see, my brothers and sisters, sometimes if we look at stuff we ought not be looking at, we allow the enemy to influence our faith and make us believe that it's impossible to do what God said is possible. And so when he saw, he was afraid. And when he was afraid, he started sinking. And when he started sinking, he cried. And when he cried, he said what he meant. Lord, save me. Listen, in the verse previous, it took him 13 words to get out on the water. But when he started sinking, he cut off 10 of those words and used 3 and said, Lord, save me. Yeah, desperate times will cause you to leave off all that excess talking. Stuff you really don't mean. He got down to the nitty gritty and said, all that really matters is, Lord, save me. I know what I said, but I'm in a desperate situation here. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters, because when the Lord hears his cry, because I need to tell you again, he made another decision. He could have said and been prideful like a whole lot of us and said, well, the Lord didn't save me. He let me drown because I told him if it was him, bid me to come. But listen, the Lord didn't take his eyes off Peter. Peter took his eyes off the Lord when he saw the wind boisterous. But so when he cried out, listen at this, and I think I need to throw this out parenthetically. He at least had sense enough to say, Lord, save me. And the Bible says, verse 31, and immediately he stretched forth his hand and caught him. You know what that word caught him mean? It meant he was on his way down fast. Jesus reached and grabbed him. Now you think about it, and I preached this message many times. You think about if he'd have kept on praying them prayers like some of the deacons used to pray. Father, here I am, knee bow and body bend, come on, yo. Poor weak in numbers. Now, Lord. He'd have been at the bottom of the sea. But he cut that prayer short and said, Lord, save me. And since his prayer was short, his rescue was fast. Some of y'all gonna catch that on the way home. You don't have to pray long to pray strong. The old folk used to say, call him up and tell him what you want. And my brothers and my sisters, Jesus said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, he says, O thou of little faith. If little faith got him to walk out on water, what did the disciples have in the ship? If little faith caused him to say a three-word prayer and get saved, what does little faith say to us? All you need is a little faith. Sometimes your decisions will be good, sometimes they will be bad, but you've got to make a decision to do what's best. Listen, Peter made the decision to do what was best. He got out on the water. He went toward Jesus.